Blog Talk Radio.
LGB. 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 LGB.
They say
LGB
everywhere
I go.
LGB.
What it means?
I don't know.
LGB.
Whatever it is.
LGB.
Kamala, help me.
Please.
Please.
Alrighty then.
LGB.
That let's go, Brandon. Right?
LGB.
This means let's go, Brandon.
No.
LGB.
Sounds like let's go, Brandon, I guess.
LGB.
Alright.
Let's go, Brandon.
Cornholio.
Chant
LGB.
Right wing and left wing.
LGB.
Go, you know the thing.
LGB.
If you don't sing
that back.
LGB.
And you ain't black.
LGB.
Let's go, Brandon.
LGB.
Let's go, Brandon.
LGB.
Let's go, Brandon.
FJB. Let's go, Brandon.
I'm Joe Biden, and I forgot this message.
Bless his tiny little pea-picking heart. Hey, everybody. James Bostic here. A conservative perspective on Patriot Nation Radio here at Blog Talk Radio. We do it live for the most part. We do it live twice a week, and that's Tuesdays and Thursdays. Whoops. Live, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then we have a Sunday show that is recorded, and we do that for the Mojo 50 Radio Network, mojo50.com. If you aren't listening, you should be, because it is the very best in conservative and libertarian talk radio. Mojo50.com. Kids, we have got just as advertised, a slam bang double bill tonight. American two shows that you're not going to want to miss. First, appearing with me, a very good friend of the program and an exceptional good friend of me, former Immigration Naturalization Services Federal Agent Mike Cutler is going to join us. We're going to be talking about the insanity, the sheer insanity of reparations to illegal aliens and who's really getting paid here. And then at 8 and from 8 to 9, Mark Hoffman is going to be talking with the one and only Roger Stone on life after a wildly politicized FBI raid on his home. And it all starts right now. And we're not going to go any further before we introduce our guest, my friend. As I said, he's a 30-year veteran of the Immigration Naturalization Services. His special areas of expertise had to do with counterintelligence, counterterrorism, drug enforcement, organized crime, immigration fraud, as all these things would pertain to immigration. A remarkable man. Guy, I'm really proud to call my friend. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Michael Cutler is with us. Evening, Michael, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. Thanks, James, for that wonderful introduction. You know, I'm from Brooklyn. I'm Jewish. And in Yiddish, there is an expression called chutzpah. For those of you that don't know the word, it means unmitigated gall on a galactic scale. And the traditional example that we always use about chutzpah is the kid that kills both parents and then has the chutzpah to plead for mercy because now he's an orphan. I think the Biden administration and the lunatic left have surpassed that example. What do you think of that?
I think that you're spot on. I read your article today twice on how they're going to be making crime pay, and there's no doubt that they're going to. The sad thing is, and we've talked about this a million times, these people on the lunatic left, the fringe, or either side really for that matter, you know, immigration and illegal immigration and what's going on at our southern border for the most part, but all our borders, it's an abstract. they don't really care about these people and what's happening to them. They're a photo opportunity. They're a prop. And that's the sad thing about this. And when you and I were talking this weekend over reparations, we know who's going to be getting the payday here, and it's not these poor exploited people.
No, it's not. And they will get some of the money. But I think what Biden is doing, and well, I don't think he's doing anything. He's just a puppet. If somebody cut the strings, the marionette would collapse on the floor. They'd have to sweep him away. Okay? He's a puppet. He's a ventriloquist dummy. I'd love to know all the people and all the organizations putting words in his mouth. But, you know, I'm a registered Democrat, so I want everyone to understand where I'm coming from. When I joined the Democrat Party, and I'm on the wrong side of 70, but when I was in college and I joined the Democrat Party, it was the party of working Americans. My dad was a construction worker. I believe that tradesmen are the heart and soul of America, and they're among the brightest people you'll ever meet. They actually do something in the real world. One of the problems with the radical left, with academia, they will always start out with the fatal expression, in theory, and then they will tell you the theory. In theory, okay, in theory, I should be able to jump out a window from the 50th floor of a skyscraper, flap my arms vigorously, and fly away. In theory, you meet the pavement and find out that the theory didn't work, and you meet the pavement at high velocity. So this nonsense about in theory, you know, communism in theory sounds so wonderful, to each according to his needs, from each according to his ability, and we will all sing kumbaya around the campfire. In reality, my dog is a capitalist, okay? You want to train a dog? Give the dog a reward for what the dog does, and the dog is all excited. You want people to do what you want them to do, then you reward them for what they're doing. It's positive reinforcement. Now, there are some fools that think they can whip a dog into submission and get the dog to do the desired deeds. Well, it may work for a while till the dog turns around and chomps on your rear end, because nobody wants to be forced, coerced, threatened, or injured so that you give them what they want. But that's what communism is, because there's only two ways to persuade either people or animals that we train, either the carrot or the stick. In real capitalism, because we don't have real capitalism, in real capitalism, you work hard, you get that degree, you do everything you're supposed to do, you make more money, you buy a bigger house, you eat better food, you go on better vacations, and you maybe drive around in a Porsche or some other hot car if you're into cars than I am. But in reality, if you look at what we do with socialism, everyone's supposed to get the same paycheck. So what happens is the only other way to persuade people under communism is the stick. So I always like to ask people, would you rather live under a carrot or under a stick? Now, we're told that we live in a capitalist system, but we really don't. Corporations, mega corporations, the Bezoses of the world, the Bill Gates of the world, have taken the notion of capitalism, which mostly involves small businesses going back just a few decades, until we got to the big box stores. And might makes right. And how does might make right in politics? The more money you have, the more money you can throw around to buy politicians. And I was listening to Rance, I believe it was Rance Priebus who was on Fox, and I almost fell out of my chair the other day. I wish I had a recording. And here's Rance, the former chairman of the Republican Party, saying Americans should vote for the Republicans because the Democrats are getting money from people that want open borders, but the Republicans are being funded by people who want secure borders. Wow. So we're actually voting for the lobbyists once removed. Am I right or wrong in what I just said, James?
Spot on. Exactly right. Now, it's the lobbyists that make the laws around here.
That's right. And do you think that the Democrats or the Republicans are alone on wanting an open border? I've testified at numerous congressional hearings in the House and Senate. I wish they had listenings, perhaps, instead of hearings. And I remember one hearing about border security. And by the way, if you really want free energy, folks, I found the solution, and it's not nuclear fusion. I mean, I hope we get to nuclear fusion. That would be wonderful. But tomorrow morning, we could start to generate clean energy more than we could use. We could be exporting it. All we need to do is hook generators onto the revolving doors in Washington where the lobbyists go from being staffers from members of Congress to working on K Street, those spinning doors would power not only America, but the rest of the world. That's where we are today. And no one realizes it. You have 28-year-old kids who come out of these Ivy League schools, they've been drinking the Kool-Aid with not one but two straws, and they work for a member of Congress, they work for a U.S. senator, they work for a governor, they work at the White House, and a lobbying outfit says, if you can only get this bill through Congress, if you could get Congressman Schmidlap or Jones or Smith or whomever to vote for that bill and prove to us that you got what it takes, we'll hire you at double or triple the pay you're making now. So you call up Congressman so-and-so, and they say, can I speak to Bob Jones? Oh, Bob left. Oh, where is he? I don't know, somewhere in K Street. Well, who's got his job? Kate Smith. Okay, can I speak with Kate? You speak to Kate. 4 months later, is Kate available? No, she left. It's like, wait a minute, where did she go? Oh, she's working for another lobbying outfit. This goes on more frequently than you can imagine. Yes, there are some staffers who are really committed to doing the right thing, and they will work for a congressman or a senator for years. But I cannot tell you how many times all of these lawyers and all these people that took degrees in government administration stay for 6 months, 8 months, maybe a year, and they are in the wind, doubling and tripling their pay by working as a lobbyist. There should be a five-year moratorium. You want to work for a member of Congress? Great. You cannot become a lobbyist or work for a lobbyist for 5 years. You think that's ever going to happen? Of course not. Just like campaign contributions are never going to end because they're bribes. And what it means is you have leverage if you are wealthy and powerful. So the corporations want cheap labor. And I testified at this hearing, and there was a guy there who was working for an organization. He was a witness on the other side. And the members of Congress had to go vote on a bill. So when you're in the House office building or the Senate office building, when there's a vote coming up, the lights flash and bells go off, and they run like cattle to go vote, the Congress people. So they called a recess because the bells were chiming and the lights were flashing and everyone went to vote. They called a recess in the hearing. And this guy on the other side comes up to me and he says, Mr. Cutler, you need to stop pushing for border security. And this was, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. I said, do you realize that our border is our first and last line of defense against terrorists, against criminals, against aliens with dangerous diseases, against aliens who would take the jobs Americans need to support their families? He said, people die every day of the week. Get over it. He said, you know what that border really is? I said, what? He said, it's an impediment to my wealth and the wealth of my colleagues. He wasn't saying livelihood, my ability to support his wealth. The guy probably had five mansions scattered around the world and probably showed up in Washington on his own personal 757 or whatever. And I looked at him and I said, so you don't care if Americans die? He said, happens every day of the week. Open the obituaries. I guess maybe he's a lobbyist for the funeral homes as well. Think about that.
The undertaking industry, yeah.
Right?
Right.
So, the guy said that to me, and I said to him, you know, I have a prayer for you. He said, what's the prayer? I said, I hope, first of all, that there are no attacks on America. But if there is an attack, I hope they don't hurt a hair on your head. He said, Mr. Cutler, that's very kind of you. I said, the hell of being kind. I said, I want you alive so that you can be right there up close and in person and watch your family get vaporized. I want you to go through life with that memory seared in your brain. Not that I'm sure you would give a rat's tail about even your family, considering the kind of guy you seem to be. And he got furious. He said to me, would you like to step outside? I said, more than I like breathing. And I started taking off my jacket. He threw himself in his chair and buried himself in his papers. And that was the last thing we had to say to each other. I mean, the outrage. Americans are going to die, get over it. And this is what is now calling the shots in Washington. The Democrat Party used to be the most vociferous about securing borders against foreign workers. Remember, they were the friend of the worker, of the union worker, of the school teacher, of the postal worker. That was back in the 60s, and suddenly they went off the rails. Now, the Republicans always wanted cheap labor. Let's be honest about it. I'm so tired of everyone. The red wave is coming, thank God. Wait a minute. I don't vote for a party. If the truth be known, both parties are criminal organizations that involve racketeering, okay?
Absolutely.
Individual politicians who are decent. Jeff Sessions was amazing. And I was very upset with Donald Trump for what he did with Jeff Sessions. I don't think Jeff Sessions could do anything about the Russian situation any more than Barr was able to do anything about it. I'm certainly glad to see what Durham is coming up with finally. But I don't think Donald Trump understood the nature of the Justice Department. What he should have done when he came in, as other presidents have done, like Ronald Reagan, is clean house, reach down into local offices and get rid of all the leaders that were beholden to the prior administration, particularly if that prior administration was from the opposite party. By leaving all those players in place, I don't care what Washington says, they were all being insubordinate and working behind the scenes to make certain that nothing that Donald Trump wanted to see happen actually happened. That's the truth. And so I came to the conclusion a while back, and, you know, I've been on your program many times, and I've been all over the place talking about it. And I love to ask people, do you really think the immigration system is failing? And everyone says to me, yes, it's failing, it's failing, it's failing. I said, well, first of all, if it's really failing, and it is in many ways, then why would you use a broken system to give lawful status to millions of people who snuck into the country because we can't prove who the hell they are or why they're here, when they came here, or how they came here, or who they might be affiliated with? You know, you listen to the talking heads on TV. Well, if the immigrants, God forbid, call them what they are, illegal aliens, and the term alien is not a pejorative. Under the law, an alien is simply any person who is not a citizen or national of the United States. I didn't make that up. That's actually part of Section 101 of the Immigration and Nationality Act that contains all the definitions. You need definitions, otherwise you don't know how to enforce any law. If you're working at ATF and you're going after gun runners, you have to define what a firearm is. Up at DEA, they have to define what a dangerous drug is. So everything has a definition because words are critical. Words are critical. Ask George Orwell if you can still dig him up, okay? Words are critical. This isn't being politically correct. It's Orwellian. Alter understanding by altering words. And I was listening, by the way, to a reporter today at Fox News, breathlessly talking about, I'm on the border and I'm watching what's happening and we have family units coming across the border and then you have young men by themselves and they are the runners. And I almost fell out of my chair. He saw adults with children and made a presumption that those were family units. Maybe they are, but maybe they're not. Because we
maybe
know
those
that
kids
the
are
cartels
hostages.
Have been using children. That's right.
Right.
And we know that some parents are renting out their kids. Talk about child abuse. Some parents are probably having their kids kidnapped. Not they're doing it, but it's happened to them, and they don't know whatever happened to their children, and they're going out of their mind. But a lot of those kids are being used by aliens coming into the country, and if you read my latest article, it's Front Page Magazine. I hope everybody will, and please forward it to everyone. Use social media, send out emails, call your friends up. My article is entitled, Biden Seeks to Prove That Crime Pays, Compensating Illegal Aliens, Supposedly Separating at the Border. Now, understand what's happened. We had a case of a guy who came across the border waiting in the Rio Grande with a six-month-old in his arms, 5 or 6 month-old infant. You certainly can't question a six-month-old, can you? And the six-month-old has no idea who's holding him or her. He's 6 months old, right? And he comes across the river and says, this is my baby. And they eventually realized it wasn't his baby, and he had a criminal history, and he'd been previously deported from the United States as a criminal. So here's a criminal with a six-month-old baby. God only knows who the parents are or where the parents are. And Trump tried to do the right thing using DNA testing to figure out whether these kids were really related to the people that were bringing them here, and the courts stopped it and said, this is too time-consuming. It's too time-consuming to make certain that you're not putting a child into the hands of a human trafficker who may kill the child to get rid of the evidence of the crimes they've committed, because smugglers will do that. They are as nasty and pernicious and sociopathic as terrorists. They employ the tactics of terrorists. Think about that. The cartels leave headless bodies hanging from bridges in Mexico to send a message to people that if you talk to the police or you go to one of our competitors, that'll be your headless head hanging from the bridge. So The kids are being brought here by smugglers, by traffickers, by the cartels. And the court said, what do you mean you're wasting time? Put them back in the arms of the people who brought them here. DNA testing. We don't need no stinking DNA testing. These are crimes being committed by the courts, as far as I'm concerned. Due diligence would have required normal, decent behavior, which means make certain you're putting the child back in the hands of its own parents, not some criminal who may kill it or may recycle it and be and have it used to bring more illegals across the border. But the court says, no, you can't do that. I mean, what are we doing? Is this what America has turned into? And I fear it has. Because, you see, the immigration system is not just broken, but it's broken by design, because we are now dealing with an immigration delivery system. And what it delivers is an unlimited supply of cheap, exploitable labor. And by the way, it's not just the illegals. That's bad enough. But Alan Greenspan testified for Chuck Schumer back on April 30th, 2009, about comprehensive immigration reform. By the way, you should know, I gave that piece of legislative garbage a new name, and Jeff Sessions liked it so much he quoted me from the floor of the Senate back when he was a senator from Alabama. Because in my article, in my top op-ed for the Washington Times, I called it the Terrorist Assistance and Facilitation Act. We don't know who these people are, but we're going to give them identity documents or whatever name they claim is theirs. They're putting themselves in their own witness protection program. Think about that. And you hear the people on TV saying, well, if they've been living here for 10 years, how do you know how long they're living here? If you run the border, there's no record of entry. You have no idea when they came here, how they came here, who they are. All you know is they're here. You know they had to have been here at least for the last hour. But to say they've been here for 10 years, because they say they've been here for 10 years, they could be here for 10 hours or 10 days. How do you know? There's no ability to interview millions of people. There's no ability to do field investigations. And there's no record showing when, where, or how they entered the United States or what their real names are. And most of the time, if you run their fingerprints, they come back no record, because they don't have records here, perhaps, but they have records in home countries. And very often, the systems don't talk to each other, the fingerprint systems. But these talking heads on TV, the oracles of wisdom, well, if they've been living here for 8 or 9 years and they haven't committed any crime, then we certainly should let them stay. And besides, they're paying taxes. So think about that statement. They're paying taxes. And I heard this from an Army colonel, an Air Force colonel, when I spoke at an event in Washington. He came up to me in private and he said, you know, Mr. Cutler, they do pay taxes, don't they? And I said, they do. When they buy work shoes or a jacket or they buy a meal, they pay some tax. He said, well, what would happen if they didn't pay taxes? I said, what would happen if they didn't send the money that they earn illegally out of the country, because we're losing tens of billions of dollars every year because they send money out of the country? What happens when they go to the ER and they say, I don't have health insurance, and they get first-rate treatment that may cost tens of thousands of dollars? How much taxes does a worker pay if they're earning minimum wage, if that much, if they're working off the books? What about when they claim earned tax income, earned tax credit, so they claim to have children back home, but nobody goes to find out if they really have the kids, so the IRS actually mails them a check? So what taxes are they paying that offsets the expenses that they create? By the way, you should know the Congressional Budget Office did a study that says that it costs 20 to 40% more to educate kids who can't speak, read, or write English. So a normal situation, a child who does have English proficiency ability in public school in New York costs about $25,000 a year to educate a public school child. $25,000 a year. Illegal aliens often don't earn $25,000 a year. So if they bring one or two kids with them and they're paying taxes, does that cover the education of their children? Think of all the lies that you've been told, all these arguments, and people listen to them and they go, oh, wow, that makes sense. No, it doesn't. You're just not thinking straight. Well, they had a wall around Germany and the Berlin Wall came down. Yes, but the Berlin Wall was designed to keep people in, not keep people out. The White House has a gate. Prisons have gates. I guess the White House is a prison, right? Think about that. Then we're told it's a wall of hate to keep Mexicans out. No, the wall was never designed to keep anybody out. No, you didn't mishear me. I did say that. The wall on the Mexican border is not designed to keep a single person out of the United States of America. Now, if you're wondering if I lost my mind, I may have. Don't ask my wife because she might have a different opinion. But the wall was simply designed to funnel all traffic through ports of entry. It doesn't block off the ports of entry. You go to a baseball stadium, right? You go to a football stadium. What do you find? A big fence around the playing field. Why? Because they hate the fans? No, they don't want the fans interfering with the game. So there's a fence around the field, correct? And when you go in and you want to watch the game, you have to go through a gate. You pay. They give you a ticket. They tell you what seat to sit in. And maybe you go through a metal detector because we live in an insane age. When I was a kid, the idea of having to check for weapons would have been insane. But we are insane. It's funny. Hollyweird is anti-gun, but they have live ammunition and live guns on the movie set that glamorize violent shooting and mayhem. But don't you dare have a firearm. And what you see in the movies has nothing to do with real life. So a kid comes home from school. He's 12 years old. He doesn't know where his mother is. He doesn't know who his father is. He comes home, and he's watching TV, no one to supervise him, and he sees two guys having a fight. And because they're real men, what do? They blow each other up, and they drive their cars through the living room window with machine guns blazing. But Hollywood is against violence as they go to the bank.
Think all about the way to the bank, yeah.
Am I right or wrong in anything I'm saying to you, James?
No, you're spot on, Mike. And, you know, it's not just the Uruguayans or the Chileans or the Panama,
no,
whoever's coming
human
through.
Nature
there,
is
there
human
are,
nature. I'm glad you're,
yeah.
I'm glad you're making that point. I've arrested people from all over the world. I'm Jewish, but because I uncovered a terror plot in Israel, which was a wonderful thing at the beginning of my career, I had a great relationship with the Israeli National Police. So I arrested many Israelis who came here who were fugitives for having committed serious crimes in Israel, including one guy we sent home because he committed a murder, and he was found guilty of murder. So people are people are people. If you cut anybody's arm, I don't care about their skin color or the language they speak or anything else, we all have red blood, and human nature is universal. Every race, every religion,
right,
every ethnicity has the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I made a specialty out of going after the bad and the ugly. I used to think of my job as being a human trash collector on some days, you know? And it didn't matter what country. You know, when Donald Trump said there's a lot of bad hombres out there, I almost had a stroke because it's not bad hombres, it's bad actors, okay? And we have to be very clear about this. Immigration is not about race or religion or ethnicity. If it was, I couldn't have enforced those laws for 30 seconds, let alone 30 years. And if you go to Title 8, United States Code Section 1182, it enumerates the categories of aliens who we're supposed to keep out of the country. It's aliens with dangerous communicable diseases, think COVID, aliens who are mentally ill, remember Ellis Island is a quarantine station, aliens who are criminals, terrorists, spies, human rights violators, fugitives from justice, war criminals, okay, human traffickers, drug smugglers, aliens who would become a public charge, or if they work, would displace American workers, irrespective of the superficial factors of race, religion, or ethnicity. Who in their right mind would oppose the enforcement of those laws? We have crazy people in government, and we have foolish people voting for the crazy people, because when we go to vote, it's often a case of heads they win, tails we lose. I remember I was on a show years ago, a radio show, and McCain was running against Obama. And the young lady whose show I was on said to me, "Who are you going to vote for?" I said, "That's one hell of a choice, cancer or a heart attack." Okay? And that seems to be what happens all the time, because the political machinery makes sure that no matter who wins, they win. No matter who wins, the people that write the checks win. So the immigration system, and Alan Greenspan, by the way, said that the solution to wage inequality, because he referred to high-tech American workers like computer programmers as the privileged elite. There's real chutzpah, the privileged elite. My first wife died tragically of cancer when she was in her early 30s. She was a brilliant programmer. She was a Phi Beta Kappa graduate with an MBA in computer science. She was a member of the National Math Honor Society. And all the people who worked with her had comparable credentials, and they were mostly American. She had one Pakistani guy working for her and 32 American programmers, men and women. And these people all graduated with honors, with advanced degrees in mathematics and science. They are losing their jobs to people from India because people like Bob Goodlatte, the former chairman of the House Judiciary Committee and a supposed conservative Republican, and if you believe that story, I have a fence to sell you. He made a fortune as an immigration lawyer who specialized in H-1B visas. And when I got into a one-on-one with him, we had a 30-minute meeting, and I told him about my late wife. He didn't want to have that conversation. I said, why aren't you going after Greenspan? For going after American workers and saying the solution to wage inequality is to make American high-tech workers compete with foreign workers, and through competition with workers from the third world, we could slice that wage premium right out from under them, and then we would greatly reduce the inequality in wages between Americans with skills and those with lesser skills. So if you force an American programmer to compete with a programmer from India, instead of making the $180,000 or the $200,000 they should earn, they have advanced degrees, they spent a fortune on their education, and these are brilliant people. You know, when we used to go out to dinner with my first wife's colleagues, I used to want to sit in the corner and put on a dunce cap and just keep my mouth shut and listen to what they were discussing because they were incredible people. Well, you know, if you have those kinds of skills, you expect to make more money if you're educated and work your tail off and do what you're supposed to do. That's the American dream. Well, Goodlatte didn't want to talk about that. And finally, he said, you know, my son knows a lot about computers, too, and he'd love to bring in tens of thousands of brilliant Indian programmers. And I thought, bingo, because when you looked at Bob Goodlatte, there was a young lady who worked over at the House Judiciary Committee who was from India, or her family was from India. There's nothing wrong with that. I want people to come to America from other countries and contribute to our society. But when your goal is to bring in an army of foreign workers that displace Americans or convince Americans that you've got to be a fool to go to college and take that degree because you're not going to get a job anyway that pays more than what a sanitation worker earns, and that's not to disparage sanitation workers because God knows without them we would have illness and all kinds of issues. Everybody has this is like a big orchestra, and we all have an instrument to play. But you want to believe that the person that drops out of high school or just goes to high school is not going to make as much as the person that gets a bachelor's degree, who is not going to make as much as the person that gets a master's degree. That's what capitalism is supposed to look like. You put in the effort, you work your tail off, and you find out what you're strong at doing, and you pursue it, and the keys to the kingdom are yours. You could live the life you want to live. There was an incentive to going to college and getting that degree. The incentive is gone because we're going to bring in an army of high-tech workers from the third world who will work for one-third the wage that an American would consider to be reasonable. So if you wonder why Americans are pointing themselves towards communism, and I was listening to Mark Levin on Fox saying, well, the people that want communism are either lazy and don't want to take responsibility or they hate America. Well, Mark, that's true, but you left out the third group. Americans who did everything right and who for decades were doing well and got fired through no fault of their own, and now they are homeless. And the only rope being offered them, other than the noose that we've put around their necks, is the rope being wielded by the Democrats who want to turn America into a communist country. In fact, Dan Rather did an amazing documentary just about a decade ago. Look it up online, folks. It's called No Thanks for Everything. Dan Rather reporting. He interviewed four or five programmers who had credentials similar to my first wife. These were brilliant programmers. They were in their 40s and 50s. They had master's degrees, MBAs in computer science. They had been getting perfect evaluations. They came to work one day and their bosses handed them a box and said, here, put all your stuff in the box. And they said, why, am I moving? No, you're leaving. What happened? You don't work here anymore. Oh, and by the way, if you want your severance package, and it's a pretty good one, you're going to have to train your replacement from India. Think about that. So do you think that when you're facing the prospect of losing your home to foreclosure, that you're going to be fussy about who throws you a lifeline? The people that are greedy are pushing America over the brink. And it's both parties. They want power. They want money. And they don't give a damn about the damage they do to this country. You know, I'm not particularly religious, although I'm very proud of my Judaic background and culture. But we all know the story about the wisdom of Solomon. And this was long before DNA testing, speaking of DNA testing, as we did earlier. And two women, I'm sure you know the story, folks. It's a very famous story. It's almost a fable at this point. Two women claim to be the mother of the same baby. Not having any biological way of testing, King Solomon, being the brilliant king that he was, came upon a strategy, and he offered to cut the baby in half, knowing full well that the real mother would never allow a hair on that baby's head to be harmed. And sure enough, one woman said, "Give me my half." And the other woman said, "Better she should have my baby than harm should come to him." I want you to think about Nancy Pelosi and how quickly she'd want her half of that baby. And all the others like her, AOC, Elizabeth Warren, all of them. And you'll find them on the other side of the aisle also, by the way. It's not one side or the other. It's both sides, which is why Trump was such a threat to the globalists, the greedy, the self-centered, the people who I've always said are grammatically challenged. What does that mean? Well, they only conjugate verbs in the first person singular. They're grammatically challenged. Okay? The three most important people Nancy Pelosi and people like her know, me, myself, and I. Think of her standing in front of that ice cream when Americans didn't know if they could feed their children that terrible night. That's who's running and ruining this country. So what Biden is now saying is we're going to give money to children that was separated from their parents, but only under Trump. Not if it happened under Obama, and it did. Not if it's happening under him, and it is as we speak, but Trump. We got to go back to Trump because we have to fight Trump because Trump is the root of all evil, the orange man. And now we're watching what's happening with the Durham investigation. And suddenly, Hillary, I don't know. I think she is so delusional. I think she's gotten to the point where she believes her own lies. I wrote a piece about her when she was running for president in 2016, and I said that she was the Hillary virus. And I said she's a virus in two ways. A virus is a biological pathogen that can make you sick, and a virus is also something that corrupts a computer system. So when you think about Hillary, she's making America sick, and she corrupts the system. What do you think of that analogy?
Exactly right. She's absolutely she is so toxic to our culture, to our way of life. I mean the existential threat that corrupt people like Hillary, those elitists have over us is horrifying.
It is. And you know, the average American is happy if they have a roof over their head, a refrigerator with some food in it, maybe a nice suit or a nice dress hanging in the closet, a car in the driveway with a tank of gas, and if you have fuel oil or propane or whatever heat, you have a full tank with the winter coming, and you're happy. These people need mansions scattered around the world. They need private jets and private helicopters. They scream about the environment, but they pollute more than anybody. I remember that the mini Mike Bloomberg, when he was the mayor, was telling everybody to, you know, turn off their lights and turn down the heat in the winter and turn down the air conditioning in the summertime. And some reporter asked one of his staffers, because he had to go somewhere, probably on his jet. He had a 737, as I recall. And they said, well, his environmental footprint is equal to 19 people. Well, he does good things, so he's entitled. No, it doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. You lead by example. You lead by example. And the example that these people set is horrible because they don't care about anybody but themselves, going back to their problem again about being grammatically challenged. So Biden turns around and says, you know what? We're going to give $450,000. I don't know how that number came about, but Biden initially, if you saw that, said that it was a lie. It was garbage. It's the nonsense you people are putting out there, meaning the media. And then the next day, oh, yes, that's right. We're all for it. Really? Who got to him? As I said, he's a marionette. I'd like to know who's pulling the strings. But I'm sure that the word on the street is not that they're doing it just for a couple thousand children or their families, but the word on the street probably has altered. It's like the game of telephone. Run the border and you're going to get $450,000. they, as I said at a congressional hearing, these policies have fired the starter's pistol for aspiring illegal aliens from all over the world. And for these folks, the finish line to that race is the border of the United States. So they're talking about a massive amnesty for what Biden says is 11 million. And it's in the bill, by the way, the Build Back Better bill. I want you all to understand something. And this is super important. If you take nothing else away from what I have to say today on the program, and I so appreciate James inviting me to be with him today, if you take nothing else away, I want you to pay close attention to this. We've been told there are 11 million illegal aliens, the same way that Ronald Reagan said there were a million illegal aliens who would get his idiotic amnesty. After this, the dust settled with the Reagan amnesty, we found out that between 3.5 and 4 million illegal aliens got amnesty. Okay? Now, it was almost four times the amount. We're being told 11 million. I promise you, the number's at least three times that number. In fact, Yale University, and I think MIT, a couple of universities, did a study several years ago and said there's probably 20 to 25 million illegal aliens. That's before all the caravans and everything else that's been going on. So you might say, well, how many people would get amnesty? Well, 25 million. But that's only the tip of the iceberg, because this is the number that we don't even know from Reagan, because that was another con job foisted on the American people. Every alien who gets lawful status immediately, and I agree with the law in principle, but immediately has an absolute right to file a petition to bring every single one of their minor children to the United States. So if some man in a third world country impregnates five women and has 22 children, they can all come here. So I'm going to be an optimist and say they're going to only claim four children per alien who gets legal status. Although, when you look at Mayorkas, and I've written about him, Mayorkas used to be the head of Citizenship and Immigration Services. He's now the head of DHS. So everybody from the Border Patrol to ICE to all these other agencies are all under his command. Mayorkas ordered his people, when he worked for Obama as the head of Citizenship, to approve virtually every application, even though the 9/11 Commission, to which I provided testimony, by the way, said that immigration fraud and visa fraud were the key methods of entry and embedding for the terrorists, claiming political asylum, getting temporary worker status. That was the way they got in, and lying about their identities. He said, never mind, approve it. Recently, he issued an order that DHS would no longer look to strip citizenship from an alien who lied on his or her application to become a United States citizen. Think about the Nazi war criminals who lied about their identities to escape justice because of what they did during the Holocaust. Think about the terrorists who became U.S. citizens so they can get two passports and different names and travel around the world, because when an alien naturalizes, they're allowed to change their name legally, and their U.S. passport only reflects their new name. I've testified about this before Congress and said, why in the world can't we add the original name to the passport? When a woman gets married or divorced, we have the maiden name and we have the married name and we have the previous married name. What's the big deal about putting in the original name? Well, Michael Chertoff, the former Secretary of Homeland Security, he and I spoke at an event at Chapman Law School about a decade ago, and he said to me, Mr. Cutler, you have no idea how political that is. I said, political? To put a second name on a passport? What's the expense? What is the amount of ink that we need to add a second name to a passport cost us? 1/100th of a penny, perhaps, if that much? So we allow bad guys to put themselves in their own witness protection program by becoming U.S. citizens. As I've written in prior articles, when our special forces people took out bin Laden and they raided the compound, they found a whole library, including a copy of the 9/11 Commission report, and what was really chilling to me, a certificate of an application to become a United States citizen. I'm sure it wasn't for him, but for the people working for him. And if you look at the transcripts, and if you look at the indictments of a number of terrorists who were caught in the United States, they all conceded, or we had wiretaps up, or there were transmissions of communications that were intercepted, where each and every one was told, become an American citizen, and then we will call you into action, but become a citizen first. And now Mayorkas has said that anybody who lies on an application for citizenship has nothing to fear. If we've made you an American, sleep well. We will do nothing to take away your citizenship, even if you've lied on your application to become an American citizen. So I assure you that Mayorkas does not care if people claim children that are not their children. The bottom line, if we legalize 25 million, we would likely have more than 100 million children coming to America legally. And you want to talk about the environment? Because every person who comes here needs more than a pillow to put their head down on at night. They need water. Think about the water shortages in the Midwest right now, or the West. It's really devastating. Water, electricity, food, shelter, clothing, sewerage, transportation, education, healthcare, for starters. America could not survive the onslaught of adding 100 million children to our population. And then as they get older and they join the labor force, what happens to jobs? What happens to unemployment? The country would implode. America would turn into Venezuela, which I believe is their plan. I wrote an article in which I said that for the Democrats to succeed, Americans must fail. If Americans fail, they can't support themselves. They can't sustain themselves. They are forced to go to the government for help. And when you go to the government for help, there are strings attached to the money. When I was a kid, I got an allowance from my mother, and she could say to me, Mike, I don't want you buying comic books. I had to do what she said because she gave me my allowance. When I got my first job working at a kosher deli in Brooklyn, where else would a Jewish kid get a job when he's 14? That was my money. And if I wanted to buy a comic book, I could. Now, my mother may have said, are you wasting your money on that? And actually, my teachers liked the idea that I bought comic books because their attitude was, anything that you can do to get interested in reading is a good thing, and I've been an avid reader ever since. But I'm using comic books as a way of making the point that when you earn your own money, you have the ability to do whatever you want. You want to buy a car, you want to go on vacation, it's your money. But when you go to the government, they can dictate the terms under which you will use the money that they give you, like an allowance being given to an errant child. So the Democrats are the ultimate quintessential control freaks. So they're going to give money now to these aliens, but a lot of that money is going to go to the lawyers who represent them. Remember, I said the immigration system is a delivery system. It delivers an unlimited supply of cheap, exploitable labor, both the illegals and the high-tech workers, an unlimited supply of foreign tourists. That's why we have a visa waiver program that should have ended on 9/11, but it was expanded. It delivers an unlimited supply of foreign students. We've been educating Chinese engineers, the engineers that are building up their military that they threaten us with today. And here's the kicker, folks. The immigration system delivers an unlimited supply of clientele for immigration law firms. And you can find immigration attorneys on both sides of the aisle. Bob Goodlatte, the former chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, was an immigration lawyer. And he told me how his son, by the way, wanted an army of foreign workers from India. By the way, Bob Goodlatte's son, look it up, Bobby Goodlatte, got his start with Zuckerberg at Facebook, and he's made a killing financially by hiring foreign programmers, primarily from India. And what does this do to Americans? It destroys opportunities for Americans. It disincentivizes achievement in America, doesn't it? And so they're going to give money to children because it's terrible they were separated from their parents, even if the separation occurred back in their home country. Doesn't matter, because the idea is to give money to the lawyers, because you've got lawyers in Washington that flip back and forth. They work for the Congress. They work for the ACLU. They're voting in their own best interest. They're feathering their own nests in the nests of their colleagues. You know, by the way, I remember talking to an attorney one day, and he said, when you hire a lawyer, what do you think that lawyer's number one priority is? I said, well, I'd like to believe that I'm the priority. He said, no, you're not even close. The lawyer's number one priority is getting paid and getting paid the maximum amount of money. Think billable hours. He said, what do you think the second priority is? I said, well, the person who hires him. He goes, no. The second priority is to make sure that the lawyer on the other side gets paid, because they're going to deal with each other forever. These guys are bosom buddies. They go out to dinner together, and they may stand on opposite sides in the courtroom, but in reality, they look out for each other. He said, if you're lucky, you're the third priority of that lawyer that you just hired. So you've got lawyers paying lawyers right now under Biden or trying to. So here's my suggestion. If you believe that when children are separated from their parents that they should be paid damages, let's say I agree with you. How about children who are permanently separated from their parents because their mother or their father or both were killed by aliens who had no right to be in the country? Kate Steinle was one of so
yes.
many thousands of people killed by illegal aliens. They did nothing wrong. The illegal aliens who came here violated the borders. They knew they were doing something illegal. They knew they were violating our borders and our laws. And so, imagine Kate Steinle with her dad at the piers in San Francisco. And I was there. It's a beautiful place to be. So she's there enjoying a sunny day with her father, and a stray bullet comes sailing through the air and strikes her dead. What did she do wrong? Nothing. She was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I can't tell you how many times this has happened. She was very attractive, so of course the media jumped all over it. But the reality, it's commonplace. And I'd love to know, with all the violence in our cities, how much of that violence is being perpetrated by illegal aliens and gang members. Because do you know what? If you go to the DEA website and they tell you about fugitives they're looking for, you may not believe this, but it's true. I just checked it out again today. They will tell you the person's name. They will tell you the person's date of birth. They will tell you where the person was living. They will tell you what crimes they committed. They will show you a photograph. You know what is not on that wanted poster? Where the person came from originally. Don't you think that's critical? If you know some guy is, let's say, Argentinian or Israeli or Italian, that's a part of who that person is. You're looking for this fugitive. He's a dangerous individual. He's been involved with murders, involved with large-scale drug trafficking and weapons violations and crimes of violence. We want to catch him. Oh, but we're not going to tell you whether he's an American or if he's from a foreign country. Are you serious? Think about that. So you have Americans and lawful immigrants, by the way, and the most likely victims of transnational criminals are the members of the ethnic immigrant community. So when you hear this nonsense, we're protecting the immigrants, no, you're protecting illegal aliens, you're protecting drug traffickers, you're protecting the cartels, you're protecting crooked lawyers, you're protecting crooked employers. But the most likely victim in those neighborhoods are the members of the ethnic immigrant community where the criminals live, who come from all over the world. So my contention is this. If a child or a spouse loses a family member because somebody who was in custody and was released because they would not honor a detainer or immigration refused to deport that person, even though they were here illegally, they're now permanently separated from their loved one. If you're willing to give aliens who violated our borders money, then I would argue that every American who lost a loved one because of the sanctuary policies of a city, that city should have to pay them $450,000 as a minimum. Maybe double that because they weren't violating the law. They were going about their day-to-day life in that wonderful city. So why don't we force cities that have sanctuary policies to pay everyone who loses a loved one to an alien who should have been deported $1 million? Oh, and by the way, no bail, no cash bail. That person goes out, kills someone. That family should get $1 million from that city's budget also. Let's see how quickly we can bankrupt these crooked cities and these crooked politicians who are taking taxpayer money and doing nothing to protect the people who live within their jurisdictions. What do you think of that?
Fair is fair, and you're absolutely right. These people, I mean, if we're going to indemnify people, Kate Steinle, and that's an excellent example, but there are tens of thousands of Kate Steinle's, you know, over the years. And
how many people die of drug overdoses because the border wasn't secured? So the drugs came in, which results in more loss of life and more human suffering and more people's lives being destroyed. So they're victims also, aren't they?
It's on both sides.
See where
it encompasses
I'm going with
everything.
This?
Yep.
Exactly. Tell me what I don't make sense to you.
No, absolutely. I won't say it because, you know, this is spot on. But they're never going to look at the Americans who have been victims, the Americans who have been terrorized down in the borders.
And I want to make one
other
point.
Every time this happens.
I want to make one other point. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No,
I wish
no, no.
I had
we
more
got
time
5 minutes
this evening. Okay. Well, first of all, I want everyone to go to my website. It's michaelcutler.net, C-U-T-L-E-R.
Yeah.
Please check out my radio show, The Michael Cutler Hour, on Blog Talk Radio. I do my show Friday night, 7 p.m. And if you go to The Michael Cutler Hour, you can click on the podcast. And I used to do interviews. People said, don't do interviews. Just talk about the insanity of the preceding week. There's never a shortage of material. But I was speaking
yeah.
to a woman who identifies herself as a conservative and an activist. And she said, Mike, those darn left-wing lunatics, it's all about emotion and feelings. I said, let me ask you a stupid question. Why do you think they have a monopoly on emotions? Think about Kate Steinle. Think about children who were orphaned because their parents were killed because they were caught in a crossfire. I said, why aren't we using the emotions? Why do emotions only apply to illegal aliens but never to American citizens? Why does passion apply to illegal aliens but never to American citizens? When you look at those homeless people, many of them had real careers. They have college degrees. And they lost their jobs. Again, go back and watch that program that Dan Rather did, No Thanks for Everything. These people told these stories. It was heartbreaking. One woman said she lost her 401k. She couldn't maintain her house. She had to sell the house. And she said if it wasn't for the fact that she was dating a guy who said, you can move in with me, she'd be homeless. 53 years old, if I remember correctly. MBA in computer science, Phi Beta Kappa graduate, fired by Bill Gates and company for no other reason than the fact they wanted to replace her with somebody who would work for one-third the wage. And who's going to hire you when you're 53 years old and you expect to earn $150,000 a year? They gave her an outplacement service, and the first thing they said is, let me look at your resume. Yeah, get rid of Phi Beta Kappa graduate. Get rid of MBA. You know what? Get rid of bachelor's degree. She said, well, what does that leave me with? He said, high school diploma. You'd be perfect to work at Target or Walmart or perhaps at McDonald's. She said, how in the world do I pay a mortgage that way? And the guy said, well, you're going to have to downsize. You're going to have to downsize. Folks, if that isn't emotional, I want to know what the hell emotional means. We are foolish for not focusing on the damage being done to American kids. We have hundreds of thousands of American children in foster care. No one talks about them. Americans are disposable. And you look at Black Lives Matter, they threatened Eric Adams, the incoming mayor, who was a police captain, and he's black, by the way. And he said he's going to bring back the anti-crime unit. I did a lot of work with the anti-crime unit. In the old days, the cops and I worked closely together to get criminals off the street. You do it any way you can. Capone went to jail for tax evasion. We would get rid of people because they were here illegally. They'd been deported. We prosecute them. I worked with Al D'Amato to make reentry by criminals a 20-year felony. Most frequently prosecuted crime under President Trump. Never prosecuted now, virtually, under Obama. Well, it is under Obama, actually, as far as I'm concerned. This guy makes Obama look good. That tells you how bad he is, Biden. But the point of the matter is that nothing is being talked about where it involves American children. And when Eric Adams got up and said, we're going to bring back anti-crime, the head of Black Lives Matter in New York said, if you even think of doing that, we will take to the streets, we will burn down the city, you will have bloodshed, and you will have violence. We're going to dictate the police policies. And you think Black Lives Matter is looking out for blacks? The most likely victims of the shootings happen to be black and brown. Think about what that tells you. It tells you everything you need to know. As Americans, we need to sit down with our neighbors, especially the neighbors we think we disagree with. Stay away from the personalities. Stay out of that. Just talk about the issues. Talk about the violence. Talk about the drugs. Talk about the threat of terrorism. Talk about the economy. And if you're a good parent, if you're a good grandparent, if you're a good aunt or a good uncle, think about where this is going to take the children in your life if we don't turn this nonsense around and do it quickly. What do you think of that?
As usual, Mike, it is spot-on analysis from you. It's one of the reasons that I am so grateful that you are as generous with your time with our program as it is. We've been talking with my friend, Mr. Michael Cutler. That's all the time we've got. We're down to the last 50 seconds. Michael Cutler Hour, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. You don't want to miss it, Mike. I cannot thank you enough. As always, I look forward to having you on the show. I look forward to talking to you every opportunity I get. Thank you once again for being with us.
My pleasure. Go to Front Page Magazine and U.S. Incorporated, usinc.org. Share it with your neighbors. Be part of my Bucket Brigade of Truth. democracy is not a spectator sport, folks.
Thanks a lot, Mike. I'll be talking to you real soon. Thank you
Good.
Again.
Great. Well, have a great evening. Be well. Stay safe.
Oh, man, what a terrific guy. What an absolutely terrific guy. And you know what? He's never hesitated from the first time I met him. I'd probably known him just an hour or two in really good conversation at a political thing I was at a couple of years ago. Never hesitated. We talked on the phone about what we were going to talk about on the radio, and it's been just an absolutely entertaining and thrilling experience from the get-go. Michael Cutler, ladies and gentlemen. That's all the time we've got. El Guapo's coming up next. Now, stay tuned because you want to talk about big names. Here's another one for you. Roger Stone is going to be with Mark tonight, and I'm bringing Mark up right now. Guap, can you hear me? Are you there?
Loud and clear, boss. Loud and clear. What's happening?
I'm excited about tonight, man. I'm going to go ahead and
me
turn
too.
Everything over to you. Ladies and gentlemen, the handsome one, El Guapo, Mark Hoffman, waiting on his guest, Roger Stone, to show up. Mark, have a terrific show. I cannot wait to hear this.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, James. Great show, brother. Ladies and gentlemen, that's James Bostic and a conservative perspective. Heard two nights a week here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Show. Now, I spoke to Roger on the phone. He is traveling right now, going, I believe he said, to San Antonio. So far, he's not on the switchboard. I'm going to play some ads and things, and I'm going to try to call him, bring him in live on the show. So check it out. He'll be back in just 2 minutes. Bam.
We are 241 years past the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
That's the wrong one.
As a country, we have endured civil and global wars, economic...
This is the best.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
There you go, folks. One more time.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives. Big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
There, folks. You heard it right there, folks. Roger Stone coming on live.
Like the last
here.
Day when an officer is passed, they actually go and the dispatch will close basically down the radio air.
I need a new ad promo with Dave Bray because he's talking about police response and police. I love
Thank
police.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
As you know here at Patriot Nation Radio, we back the blue. But the police are backing unconstitutional laws and they're doing the wrong thing. Just the way it is. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight on the Patriot Nation Radio Show, we will have our good friend, return guest, Mr. Roger Stone. He's traveling. It sounded like he was in the airport. I called his phone. He probably didn't expect that one. When we got him, he's going to call in here and we're going to rock and roll. Folks, gas prices are soaring. I see my friend Paul is in the live feed. He is a trucker. The truckers are getting hammered. Folks, one thing you got to know about this inflation is it's only going to get worse. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. There we go, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Roger Stone. He's calling the wrong number. Merge these calls. Hold on a second. I got to...
Hey, everybody. James Bostic here, working with Mark. Oh, okay. He's back. I think he's got everything squared away. I was just going to do a little fill-in for you, but you've got it.
Thanks, James. All right. We have Mr. Roger Stone on the phone. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Roger. Thank you so much for your time tonight. It's greatly appreciated. You're very popular amongst my listeners. Hello? Uh-oh, what's happening? We're all on. I don't have any sound here. Call is merged. What's happening? Oh, here we go. Someone's screening Roger. That's why we got a deadline. James is screening Roger. He's going to come up live here right now. Here we go. There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Our good friend, return guest, Mr. Roger Stone. Thank you so much for your time, sir. Sir, you're very popular amongst our listeners.
I'm delighted to be back with you again, Mark. This is a great honor.
Yes, sir. Last time you were coming on was right before your court date. The day before coming live, you were given a gag order and couldn't join us. Now the gag order is over. Is that correct? And you're allowed to speak freely?
That is correct. I mean, this is unknown and completely unconstitutional. Where does it say when you are falsely indicted for a crime that you lose your First Amendment rights? But you see, my trial was beginning to show the cracks in the Russian collusion hoax. It was my lawyers who forced the FBI to finally admit that they never examined the computer servers at the Democratic National Committee. And therefore, there was never any evidence that they had been hacked by the Russians. We now know from the declassified documents that were forced out into public by Rick Grenell, the president's national security advisor, where the head of CrowdStrike admitted there was never any real evidence that the Russians hacked the DNC. And therefore, that basis for the entire Mueller investigation was a fraud. This is why I had to be gagged. I was beginning to expose the entire thing.
Right. And it got exposed anyway. Apparently, John Durham's been working behind the scenes. We got, what was his name, Schaminsky. He's arrested now or indicted. Do you expect other folks to fall in and get indicted too? Is it just going to be a bunch of scapegoats, or are they going to go after the big dogs like Hillary and others?
Well, if you examine the indictment of this Russian Igor, it's a roadmap that leads right to Hillary Clinton's door. Fiona Hill, who somehow worked her way into the Trump White House, formerly worked for George Soros. I blew the whistle on her in 2017 in a historic program with Alex Jones, in which I said a Soros mole has penetrated the White House. Then essentially put those who were accumulating the phony Steele dossier. You'll remember that was the unique fabricated document that they used to justify the Mueller witch hunt. She put him in touch with a fellow named Chuck Dolan, who then connected directly to Hillary Clinton. So this whole criminal trail leads right to Pankles right there in Chappaqua. And I reiterate my call. It is time to lock her up. No person, as they told us during Watergate, no person is above the law. Neither he, she, nor her hillbilly rapist husband are above the law. Now, whether Mr. Durham, who now works for the current Attorney General, Merrick Garland, is prepared to go all the way and bring all the criminal indictments. In other words, will he really go where the evidence leads, or will he be derailed politically? That remains to be seen.
I don't understand how Merrick Garland hasn't resigned already. So you were at early morning, pre-dawn raid. You had 20, 30 people at your door, CNN cameras, bright and early in the morning, banging on the door. When do you believe, or will there ever be, a similar raid on McCabe, Mueller, Schiff, or any of the other characters that played a role in this whole sham that dragged America through the mud for 3 years?
Well, I'm interested in something much more recent. Little Tony Fauci, who lied to Congress because he did fund the development of the Chinese virus, and he did fund with U.S. taxpayer money the development and the ability to pass that virus to humans. Now he's pushing on people a vaccination, which has never been through clinical trials, which is clearly not safe. They're suppressing information about side effects to the virus. They say,
yes,
we're the ones pushing misinformation, while they are the ones who are pushing misinformation. Now, Fauci has lied to Congress under oath. The difference between he and I is I did make misstatements in my seven-hour-long testimony before Congress, but they were immaterial. They were irrelevant. In other words, they didn't cover any, cover up any other underlying crime. So it was very clever. On the other hand, it wouldn't matter because my trial was a lynching under a corrupt judge, a corrupted jury forewoman, and a carefully picked jury that, Mark, you're not going to believe this. Not a single Republican on the jury. Can you imagine? Not a single military veteran. Not a single Roman Catholic. Not a single African-American male. Not a single non-Democrat. But we did have three people who worked previously for the FBI, two people who worked previously for the Clinton Justice Department. This is the definition of rigged.
Right. And I guess if you're a leftist or a radical progressive Democrat, you can lie to the FBI. But if you are a conservative-minded American who loves freedom, liberty, and the American way, you don't get the same rights as those on the progressive left. And a two-tiered justice system is in our face every day. And it's apparent what's good for us ain't good for you. And do you think we'll ever get past that? Will the re-election of Donald Trump save America if he gets elected again? Or do you think
you've got three separate questions here. Question one is, will the next presidential election be free, fair, honest, and transparent? We don't know that, but we're going to get a hint in 2022. We'll know after 2022. If they intend to steal again, then I think they will spark an American revolution. If we have honest elections in 2022, I think it's possible that we may have an honest election in 2024. Now, there's no question that our strongest candidate is Trump, but then the other question is, has he learned anything? He continues to surround himself at the staff level with quislings. I mean, why would he endorse Lindsey Graham? He should be calling for Lindsey Graham's arrest. Why would he endorse Marco Rubio? He should be calling for Marco Rubio's arrest. Why would he endorse Anna Paulina Luna for Congress? Her real name is Anna Meyerhofer. She's an Obamaite. Why would he endorse her? I just use those as examples. So I love the president. Going to see him next week. He is the greatest president since Abraham Lincoln. What's amazing is how much he was able to get done, given the fact that three-quarters of the people he appointed were working against him day and night.
He's amazing. The man is incredible, the things he's able to accomplish. If there's a landslide and we get the House and the Senate after the 2022 election, I think he will definitely run. I'm praying that he runs again.
I agree that, but immediately those Republicans in the House and the Senate must move for the impeachment of Joe Biden. There are so many grounds on which to impeach him. He has lied again and again and again. Look, my wife and I are just, we're still struggling because we have 17 totally fake, unsubstantiated, groundless, meritless, baseless, but sensationalized civil lawsuits against us. One filed by the Biden Justice Department. They're actually suing us over 2007 taxes, claiming we underreported. By the way, they're wrong and they will lose. But the point is, it's constant harassment because they're worried about a Trump resurgence. They're worried about a comeback, and I have to raise $250,000 between now and the end of the year just for legal fees. In the Mueller witch hunt, my wife and I lost everything: our home, our savings, our insurance, my car, our ability to make a living, because I was gagged for 18 years but I will never settle these lawsuits. I will fight out every one. There were 17, 11 of them. I've won dismissal in 11 of those suits. That cost me $540,000 I don't have. Thank God for the American people who support the Stone Defense Fund. You can find it at stonedefensefund.com. And I will continue to fight until all of these suits are settled. But it's how the left conducts themselves now. You file a totally baseless lawsuit, but you write it like a press release. So it's meant to defame you, but it's also meant to wear you down and make you spend more money on lawyers.
There you have it, folks. You heard it right here, stonedefensefund.com. Head on over there and help out this American patriot who's working really hard for decades to save America. You've known Donald Trump for like 40 years, correct?
I have. I saw him Saturday night. I'm going to see him again next Tuesday. He's still the greatest president since Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, amen.
It's amazing what he was able to get done, considering that he had so many spies and rats right there, some of them in his own family, I might add. You know, it's amazing how much he got done.
It's incredible. And now when we go to the gas pumps, I wonder if people go, God, Donald Trump was better than we thought. Look, it was $1.95. It was $2.07, and now it's $1.40, you know?
Let me make this clear. Gas prices are higher than Hunter Biden on a weekend. I mean, the numbers on the pump go up faster than when Brian Stelter puts his foot on a scale. I mean, it is really incredible. Now we're begging the Chinese to sell us oil again. Pardon me. We're begging the Russians to sell us oil. We're begging the Saudis to sell us oil. Donald Trump correctly pointed it out. There's enough natural gas and oil under our own land to sustain this country for 100 years without having to buy a penny abroad. But now Joe Biden is back to buying oil and gas from the Middle East.
And his cabinet members are saying, laughing, going, ha, 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 ha. The oil industry is run by a cartel called OPEC. And you got Joe Biden going, who would have
expected to
pay gas prices this high? They're really anti-American. How did we get so many anti-American?
Mark, let me ask you this. When President John F. Kennedy was at the Vienna summit with Nikita Khrushchev, do you think he crapped his pants? I mean, when Richard Nixon was toe-to-toe with Leonid Brezhnev hammering out the Strategic Arms Limitation Agreement that he signed, do you think he soiled his pantaloons? I think not. When Jimmy Carter was at Camp David with Anwar Sadat and Menachem Begin putting together the Camp David Accords, do you think he was making room for lunch? No, I don't think so. When Donald Trump met the Queen of England, I guarantee you, he wasn't dropping a deuce. You know what I mean?
You know.
But it's absolutely that Joe Biden crapped his britches when he was meeting with the Pope, and now the entire country is shitting a brick.
Ladies and gentlemen, comedian Roger Stone live on the Patriot Nation Radio Show.
Ba-boom. But seriously, folks.
Yes, sir.
All right.
This is incredible stuff. What's next for Roger Stone? You have any plans? I know you've been going around and speaking. Do you have anything on the calendar that people can join?
I do. This Christmas, my book will be out. Roger Stone Did Nothing Wrong. My story of the political persecution of Mueller and his thugs and the stealing of the 2020 election. You can also go get my iconic Roger Stone Did Nothing Wrong t-shirts, the very t-shirt I was arrested in when the FBI thugs stormed my home. You can go to rogerstonestore.com, get your own t-shirt, great Christmas present for patriots. You can go to stonecoldtruth.com, that's my main website where I put up stories, videos, and so on. You can get my books there. The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ, or my most recent book, Stone's Rules. My new book will ultimately be available there. So if you're Christmas shopping, folks, that's the place to go, stonecoldtruth.com. In the store, click on the store. Or you can go to RogerStoneStore.com specifically for the T-shirts, because I put up new ones every week. People who want to help my legal defense fund can go to StoneDefenseFund.com. I will never buckle to these people. I will never settle. I will never yield. I will fight to the bitter end. But, I'm focused on 2022 and 2024. I'm helping a few candidates. I'm campaigning for a few candidates. If President Trump decides to run, I will be there for him. If he decides not to run, then, frankly, I'm going to draft General Michael Flynn for president.
Amen. Hallelujah. There's nobody else who we would want. What was the store again? RogerStoneStore.com?
RogerStoneStore.com is where you get the T-shirts. RogerStoneStore.com.
Right. I'm posting these in the
And StoneColdTruth.com in the store where you can get my other products.
All right. I posted all those links into the live feed. I'm glad that you're free and able to speak. If you have one thing to say to the American people right now before you have to go and continue your traveling, what would you tell the American people right now that they should do to do their part in saving America?
First of all, pray. Pray for this great
Amen.
Nation. Because we are a Christian-based nation. It's on our money, although the globalists want to take it off. Secondarily, do not be despondent. Do not be depressed. Do not be angry. We've read the Bible. We know how this comes out in the end. Good will triumph against evil. We're going to go through some very, very dark days. But never give up on America. Always be ready to fight. And keep an eye on General Flynn, because I think he's a man of destiny, a man of the Constitution, a man of the Bible. He is a backbone of steel. Let me be very clear. I'm for Donald Trump. That's my first, second, and third choice. But if
Amen.
He does not run, I'm going to be all out for General Flynn. I'm just telling you now.
Amen. So before you leave, will you play with me real fast, Rod? I'd love to say
Absolutely.
A prayer.
Absolutely. I insist on it.
Dear Heavenly Father, our friend Roger Stone could use your guiding hands and your strength and courage to battle forth in his quest to become a free American once again. Guide him and make his decisions, the correct decisions, and comfort his family in this trying time as he is being ridiculed and picked out by the leftist radicals. Lord, please open the eyes of the leftists that they may see the truth in Jesus Christ and come to the side of justice and peace, and protect Mr. Roger Stone and our nation and whoever our next candidate for President of the United States is. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. Have a great evening.
Roger Stone, again, thank you so much for coming on the show, and maybe we can do this again real soon. Thank you so much.
Love to do it. Many thanks.
God bless you. All right, folks, there you have it. The man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Roger Stone, doing wonderful things. Head out onto RogerStoneStore.com, StoneColdTruth.com, and what was the other one I posted? RogerStone.com. Go to all the sites. Make sure that you help this man and his family. You heard the amount of astronomical amounts of money that he's got to spend to defend himself. Good night, Rog. All right, there we are. That was Roger Stone again, folks. God, man, that was a great show. I want to thank Roger Stone, of course, for coming on. He's a wonderful, wonderful guy. He's going through a lot of crap, and he is tough as nails, and he's not backing down. You heard it here, folks. He will keep on rocking. So make sure that you hit Roger Stone Store, Stone Cold Truth, Roger Stone, Stone Cold Truth. Go to these sites. Help the man out. He's fighting for us. You heard him. President Trump is his first, second, and third choice, and then General Flynn. You know, one or the other. We got to have it. We need it. This is an amazing country. This is America. We love our country, and we want to preserve it. I have a young son, and I don't want to look him in the eye one day and say, son, freedom was great. How do you like captivity? I want him to be free. I want all the kids to be free. I want everybody to enjoy themselves and live large. You know what I mean? So what we're going to do right now, I'm going to take a short break. I'm going to play a little jam and take a breather because that was amazing. We're going to play, let's see what I'm going to play today for you folks. You know it's going to be a Dave Bray jam because we love Dave Bray. Dave Bray is just rocking the house these days. We're going to play, because it's Veterans Day, and we love our veterans and we love these guys, we're going to play Freedom Rings, Blood of Heroes. Dave Bray, you can get this song right now at DaveBrayUSA.com, Music on a Mission Storyteller Edition. And it's probably going to come with an ad, so we're going to have to get the commercial first. See, told you. But yeah, you can get this song live, DaveBrayUSA.com, right now. And this is Freedom Rings, Dave Bray. We'll be right back.
For every soul, from every war, across the seas, or on the shore, every fold, on the flag, the coffins of lead, we don't back. The price paid for everyone, so we never give the name your freedom to bring.
There you have it, folks. That's Freedom Rings, Dave Bray. I got chills, man. It's Veterans Day. Thank you all who have served, who are serving, and who will serve. Thank you. Because I cherish their names as my Freedom Rings. As I sit here as a free American, my dad behind me there with his flag. Every fold of our flag, from coffin's lid to widow's lap, cherish his name as your Freedom Rings. because it's those guys. Without them putting their lives on the line, where would our nation be today? We wouldn't be in this fight we're in right now. We wouldn't have the freedom to fight this fight if these guys didn't make a stand for our freedom on the battlefields across this country. I want to thank all those who served in Afghanistan over the last 20 years and gave the ultimate sacrifice. Some gave life, some gave limb. Some gave all gave some. May each and every one of you be blessed or raised up on this day and every day. Folks, don't wait till today to thank a veteran. Crying out loud, I see a guy with a hat on. Desert Storm, Vietnam, Korea, whatever war he was in. Thank you for your service. A Vietnam veteran recently told my wife and I, don't thank us for our service. Welcome us home. We're still waiting to be welcomed home. For all you guys from Vietnam, welcome home, brothers and sisters. We love you guys. We're a whole generation of people out here who love you guys. We know you were put on a bogus battlefield in the first war that was truly politicized by leftists and communists. Instead of letting the guys fight the war and help the people, Vietnam, they politicized it. People like Hanoi Jane Fonda, getting ready to have a, she's on TV. How is this lady allowed to do anything after passing that note to the enemy that fateful day? How is John Kerry in any position of power within our government? You know, people say the Maverick, and I hate to talk about people who passed away, John McCain. You gotta respect him because he's a military veteran. But the things he did, he took the oath to defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic, and then usurped his oath. When you usurp that oath intentionally and on purpose, your hero status as a veteran who killed the most service members in friendly fire ever in the history of the military should get anything. God rest his soul, and I hope he's resting in peace. I wish nothing but goodness for anybody, but he was no good. And it's a shame that all the greatness of being a military veteran is thrown out the window for usurping his oath to the Constitution as a politician. And many politicians today are standing in the halls of Congress and in the halls of the Senate who should be arrested, who should be impeached for violating their oath. One thing I forgot to ask Roger tonight was about January 6th, because, you know, they're blaming him. It's part of his fault for what happened on January 6th. Screw that. Folks, insurrection. Did you hear this asshole Black Lives Matter guy? What did he say? He's telling the mayor of New York City, mayor-elect of New York City, if you go back to the old policies, we're going to burn the city down. Why didn't they arrest that guy right on the spot, right there, for saying that, threatening the mayor of New York City? Think about, say, Roger Stone went and threatened the mayor of Tampa and said, if you don't do it, we're going to burn down the city. What would happen? It ain't right what's happening in this country. We have a two-tiered justice system. We have a party that is the do-as-I-say-not-as-I-do party, and the other party is a bunch of feckless cowards who can't stand up for shit and let everything go. And then they vote for a bogus Green New Deal socialist bullcrap infrastructure bill. Thank God for Manchin. If it wasn't for him, it would have been $3.7 trillion. The guy stood up. Did he do it because he's afraid of losing his job? Did he do it because he really felt that way? That is what remains to be seen of Mr. Manchin. But if you're one of these guys who gave it all on the battlefield in Afghanistan, I want to get back to this because I got a number here I like to read now. Many of you guys that were on the battlefield of Afghanistan must be beside yourselves, and I could never understand what you're going through. But if you need somebody to talk to, there's a suicide prevention hotline, and its number is 1-800-273-8255. Call.
and is after you. 1-800-273-8255 is the suicide prevention hotline. Please stay alive. Let's get it from 22 a day to 21 a day to 20 a day to 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So there's zero deaths by suicide of military veterans because they've been abandoned on battlefields by a bogus administration who gives nothing but freedom and liberty to illegal aliens and Afghanis that came here who shouldn't even be here. And the American people suffer. Gas prices are going through the roof, and this turd in the White House is talking about closing another pipeline. Really? And begging Saudi Arabia to produce more oil? Really? When for the first time in the history of our country, we were energy independent, and we didn't have to import nothing. We were only exporting. Closing another pipeline. And then Pete Buttigieg. This guy is going to be a presidential candidate for the Demon Rat Party. Pete Buttigieg. Pete Beetlejuice. The supply chain's fine. We're buying more stuff than ever. We don't need those ships at sea. They're fine. They're nuts. I believe that the progressive left is insane. They're not normal. You present them with facts. And they look like Linda Blair in The Exorcist getting splashed with holy water as the priests scream, "The power of Christ compels you." Cigarette head spinning around, green spitting pea soup at everybody, puking and screaming. That's what happens when you hit them with truth. That's what they look like. Classic. Get a little garlic, a crucifix and a wooden stake and go after Dracula. It's like truth to liberals. It's crazy. And here we are, scratching our heads, going, what's next? Folks, we have great organizations, Community Patriots of Hernando, Pasco, Pinellas, and Hillsborough County, been working hard. Scott Pressler, I've been trying to get this. If anybody has any connection to Scott Pressler, I want him to come on my show. The guy is doing incredible work, flipping whole cities from blue to red. For the first time in the history of Florida, we have more registered Republicans than Democrats. Amazing things are happening as we battle through all this bullcrap. There's only 3 weeks of Congress left in this next session. 3 weeks. Keep fighting. Push it into 2022, and we might have a chance. People, keep standing up. Don't get the vax. Don't put on your mask. Noncompliance is the greatest tool we have. Do not comply with the bullcrap. And speak your mind before you can't any longer. Tell people. Bring them the news, good or bad. Save America. America first. American freedom. Freedom, liberty, and American way of life. The way, the only way, the shining city on a hill. Here we are. Everybody from every country on earth wants to come to America and be free. It's just unbelievable that Americans in this country would entertain socialism. What? Huh? Free stuff for everyone is not free. Comes off my back. I go to work every day. I got out of 21 days now, I got 20 days in a row of work. 20 out of 21 days I worked. Because I have to. Because people get free shit and I got to pay for it. Irritates the hell out of me. But I love work. I love what I do. I like when I open up my wallet and there's money in it. Who wouldn't like that? But why I got to work 20 days out of 21 so I could have a few dollars in my wallet and eat while illegal aliens are pouring across our country, untested, unvaxxed, whatever, just blasting across our nation. Unbelievable. And we need to call for the end of the state of emergency so that we can get rid of emergency use authorization on these bogus vaccines. The emergency is over. I live in the Sunshine State. In August, we had the most cases. Today, we have the least because our governor did amazing things. Monoclonal antibodies, getting the elderly vaccinated as soon as possible, even though the vaccine is evil, bad, horrible, mark of the beast kind of crap, and I don't want no part of it. I'm not getting vaxxed. My job so far is a non-vaccination company, they stated today. But everybody has to show proof of vaccination or get tested weekly to stay in line with the bogus mandate by the Biden administration. We have apparently less than 100 employees, so we only have to get whatever the case may be. I hate it. I can't believe it. It's unrealistic. So I got together with the boss in human resources and asked him some simple questions. There's no mask mandate in Florida. Why are we wearing the masks? The answer is my company is a privately owned company. They have a policy because they are based out of Germany, and their policy is face masks. So it doesn't matter if there's no Florida mask mandate, because there is a mask mandate at my job. So I wear the damn mask. Makes me sick. And they tell us we got to get a weekly test for COVID if we don't have the vaccine. If you ask me, that's kind of like discrimination. And we have to tell them if we're vaxxed or not. And they said that it's not a violation of HIPAA laws because they're not doctors. They're not a medical entity. So they can ask for our medical record legally. They can't share it with doctors. They can't share it with nobody, but they can ask for it, and we have to give it. Otherwise, we could walk out the door with no job. Now, based on the fact that I don't have to get vaxxed, I'll wear a stupid mask. I peel it off all the time. No one's looking. I'll be wearing it anyway. It's a bunch of crap. Everybody knows it. So we put this stupid face diaper on, and we act like we give a shit. I don't give a crap either way. If I get sick and die, I get sick and die. God has his plan for me. And if that's the plan, then I'm for it because it's God's and I have no say. This is all God's plan. We can't fight it. We can't beat it. Whatever he wants, he's going to get. This is a warning. This pandemic is a warning from the Lord. Remember, things like plagues of locusts, famine, drought, floods, parting the sea. The guy can do amazing things. You don't think he did this pandemic to straighten things out, maybe? To warn the madness that is to come? I pray for the day that Jesus comes back and gives us salvation to those who are saved. If you ain't saved, brother, just accept, confess and repent and accept Jesus Christ right now. You can do it right now. You don't have to wait for nobody. You can do it all by yourself. Pray to the Lord. Save my soul and forgive me for my sin. I have fallen short of the glory of God. Please, Lord, forgive me and accept me into the kingdom of heaven. And you're in. You have to be serious. You have to be on the line and do it. You need to do it. You need to get right with the Lord now. If you don't get right with the Lord now, you may not have a chance. You know? I pray for this country. I pray for whoever may run office of president with Donald J. Hopefully it's Donald J. Trump. I pray it's Donald Trump. Just keep praying for our country. Folks, prayer works. But I learned some things. You pray like this. It's helpful. It works. But you got to pray out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, protect Roger Stone. Dear Heavenly Father, please protect our nation. Dear Heavenly Father, please encourage President Donald Trump to run again and be victorious and make America the greatest it's ever been, even better than the first time. Because now we know what we got to do. For crying out loud, we got to win the 2022 election and impeach Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and Nancy Pelosi so we can get to the next. Hey, my sister-in-law is watching. What's happening, Marianne? So keep praying for our nation. Get the vaccine if you feel like it's for you. Don't get the vaccine if you feel like it's not. Do not let anybody pressure you into something you don't feel is right for you. That's it. If you don't want it, don't get it. You shouldn't be forced for a disease and an illness that has a 99.976 survival rate under the age of 70. True factual statistics. 99.976% survival rate under the age of 70. Children are not dying from this illness. So vaccinating children 5 to 11 years old is bullcrap. Why would we vaccinate people who aren't getting sick and dying? I think there's maybe 160 children passed away in the United States. One is too many. I agree. But the number one killer of children under the age of 2 in America today, right now, and you could Google this, is viral pneumonia. Kills more children under the age of 2 than any disease in the world. Have you ever wore a mask for the viral pneumonia pandemic that kills 2 million kids, something like that, every year, 2.5 million children a year or something? Every year. Did you wear a mask for that pandemic? No. How about a mask for the tuberculosis pandemic that kills 1.5 million people every year? Every year. Do you wear a mask for the tuberculosis pandemic that's been raging for decades? No. So why wear a mask now? Because the news told you? Because Dr. Fauci said you got to wear a mask? Well, you don't have to wear a mask. No, you better wear 2 masks. Who knows? They wonder why people are skeptical. They created the skepticism themselves because they're changing the story. One day no mask, one day wear a mask, one day 2 masks. Oh, my God. 15 days to flatten the curve is now turned into 2 years, get vaxxed, lose your job. What happened to 15 days to flatten the curve? What happened? And when are they going to report the numbers correctly? There's not 716,000 people that died from COVID. There's like 16,000 people died of COVID, and 700,000 people died from heart attacks, strokes, car accidents, slip and falls. And they had COVID when these things killed them. And instead of saying died with COVID, they died of COVID. Dying with and dying of are two different things. Something that people have to understand. Now, I get it. You wear a mask, you get vaccinated because, you know, you get sick. You don't want to maybe pass it on to somebody who can't fight. But the numbers are bogus. The numbers are not real, and they're lying to you, and everybody fell for it, and nobody asked any questions. No one went, wait a minute, that sounds kind of ridiculous. How come there's no flu? Where'd the flu go? How come no one's dying of strokes, heart attacks, and cancer anymore? What's going on? People don't ask the questions. They just go, well, Fauci said it. It was on CNN. They said it on MSNBC. It's got to be true. Fox News telling me I should go get vaccinated and, you know, make smart decisions and choices. Oh, it's on the news. I have to follow. It's got to be real. They lie. They lie all the time. They're full of crap. And all your people just go, okay, let's do it. They told me the government's not going to do nothing bad to me. They're here to take care of me. Bullshit. The government's not here to take care of nothing but their own pockets. They're lying, cheating, stealing, thieves on both sides of the aisle. Just the ones wearing the red coats, which used to be the enemy. The red coat, the government, red. Now the guys wearing red, the Republicans, are the ones fighting for our freedom and our liberty and our rights and our Constitution. Some people may not believe in the Constitution any longer. I believe in the Constitution. This is the sacred document. If it violates this, it's not a law to me. It's not a law. If it violates this, it's not a law. It says it in the document. Mandates are not laws. So when they say we're going to mandate a vaccine, so it's a mandate. It's not a law. I don't have to do it. I'm not doing it. If I get sick and die, I get sick and die. It's God's plan. Everybody knows that's the way I feel. And if you didn't, you do now. 99.976 survival rate under the age of 70 does not require a vaccine. It requires Mucinex or Theraflu in the Walgreens cold aisle. Stay home for a week. Freaking ridiculous. Some say, oh, well, you probably don't know anybody who died. I know plenty of people who die. They die every day. People who die. My father died. He didn't die of COVID, but he died. If he died, say, 2 weeks ago, probably they would have listed it as a COVID death, even though it was Parkinson's and complications to Parkinson's disease. I'm having an issue here. No one's running my board. I hope I'm live over the air. Oh, I lost my train of thought. But anyway, Florida right now is the lowest state in the nation for COVID. Our great governor opened the state, let everybody in, took off the mask, didn't force back anybody, and we got the lowest rates in the nation. Look anywhere where the highest rates are, highest vaccination rates and mask mandates. That's where all the highest cases are right now. These are indisputable facts that you can find. Don't ask me to do the research for you. I do the research for myself. I look around. I post what I can. Don't ask me to research for you. I'm giving you the facts. Go look for yourself. Be a free thinker. Open your mind. Question everything. I got in flack today at work because I was questioning something, right? Well, we did it this way. This is how we usually do it. And I said, basically, what you used to do is done. I'm the boss. Do it. Okay, so if it's wrong, it's wrong. And I asked him straight up, do you think it's wrong of me to question everything to make sure that it's perfectly right? Because I want to make the best product in the world for people to be able to eat and be free. Crazy stuff. Crazy. And now Biden, what are we going to do with this clown? What are we going to do? We impeach him, we get camel toe. We impeach camel toe, we get Pelosi. I think that's the end game. I believe the end game is President Pelosi. Everybody knows full well Kamala Harris is not vice presidential material. She was put there just because. Not going to be president. I hope she doesn't even think about running. She will not be president. She goes to France and she uses a fake French accent while she's talking to the people. Like, really? She is the border czar, and her ass is in France. Is our border in France? No. Is our border anywhere besides in America with Canada and Mexico? Not in France, where you speak in the fake French accent, talking to the French people. Freaking joke. All right, folks. We're right here at the end. I don't know if I'm doing a show next week. It's the end of the month. Thanksgiving's coming up. All this stuff's happening. I'll keep you posted. If something pops up and I get a good episode, we'll come out with a show. But otherwise, we got the American Allegiance show with author Kevin White, Wednesday, 7 p.m., and A Conservative's Perspective, 7 p.m., Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we have the Patriot Nation Radio Show live, Thursdays, 8 p.m. So all shows are 7 p.m., except mine's 8 p.m. That's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We lock up the middle of the week with the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Want to make sure you all get out there and join the fun. It's a blast. We're having a good time here. We're trying to enlighten folks. One thing I learned from watching the General Flynn and Roger Stone cases, the FBI comes knocking. Don't say a word to them because they're only going to ask you a question today and ask you a question in 6 months, and if you answer it wrong, they're going to arrest you. Don't speak to them, clowns. Get a lawyer. Anytime. So I'm going to play Star Spangled Banner here. Oh, no, I still got some time. For those on the battlefield who gave the ultimate sacrifice for our country and our freedom, I'm going to play this song. It's another Dave Bray great song. This is Taps and Amazing Grace. This is a fantastic version of Amazing Grace, sung by our friend Dave Bray, mixed with Taps. Here it is. Enjoy this, and we'll be back with the Star Spangled Banner and to wrap up the show.
Okay,
you're right. They always do the utility, the commercials. First. I'm tired of the commercials every dang time. Here we go.
I'm going to deliver you
two of them. Two commercials. Two commercials. Amazing Grace and Taps. Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com. Music on a mission. Those who gave the ultimate sacrifice, fighting for my freedom, thank you. To those who gave the smallest of sacrifices, fighting for my freedom, thank you. You gave life and limb to defend my freedom, thank you. I promise to be an American that you are proud to have served for. I'll do everything in my power to preserve freedom, liberty, and the American way of life that I can as a human being, as an American. May God bless you, and may God bless this great country that we live in today.
We use technology that works as hard as your heart.
We can hate commercials. Everything that I put on has a commercial. I'm trying to do a good show, and they put commercials on everything.